Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, find out how wind gusts can cost farmers a ton of money. But first, across the Corn Belt, the planting season is off to a roaring start. And with farmers expected to put in more acres of corn than they have since the Great Depression, this fall's harvest could be one for the record books. Sarah McCammon reports from Iowa for Harvest Public Media.
It's too early to predict whether this year's harvest will set a record, but it's looking pretty good right now.
This corn crop will knock your socks off if all the stars line up and the good Lord gives us that blessing.
That's Bill Kauser. He grows crops and raises cattle near Nevada in central Iowa. Dressed in black overalls, he trudges through a field dotted with remnants of last year's corn stalks and inspects the tiny leaves that are beginning to poke through the dark soil.
So you can just start seeing everything kind of popping up through.
Like lots of corn growers here, Kauser's planting has moved along quickly thanks to a mild spring. But at 57 and after decades of farming, Kauser knows better than to get too excited just yet. A lot could still affect the crop, from droughts to floods to pests and diseases. But starting early can give farmers an edge. The National Corn Growers Association's Paul Bertels says the plants have more time to grow before they're up against Midwestern midsummer scorchers.
The sooner you get the crop in, provided you don't have a cold snap, you get that plant in, you get it established, and a lot of times you'll actually get that corn plant through pollination before the real heat of the summer comes.
Corn growers nationwide are planting at about twice the rate of a typical year. More than half the crop is already in the ground. And not just that, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says farmers intend to plant more than 95 million acres of corn this year. That's 4 million more than last year and close to 10 million more than the year that yielded the biggest harvest yet. If farmers follow through on those plans, it would be the most acres of corn since 1937. And better seeds and improved farming methods mean yields are a lot higher now. Despite Kauser's optimism, though, he worries about the downside. A big crop could suppress prices while the cost of farming holds steady.
Farmers are their worst enemies because what we do is we always do what we do best, and that's overproduce. If we have more corn than what we can use in ethanol, what are we going to do with that corn? The cattle numbers are down right now. The hog numbers have stabilized. So where does that corn go?
Never fear, says Chad Hart. It will go somewhere. He's an economist with Iowa State University Extension. Hart says corn prices would probably drop a bit, maybe a dollar or so below today's price of more than $6 a bushel, but that's still a lot better than the $2 or $3 corn was fetching as recently as the mid-2000s. And Hart doesn't expect any shortage of buyers.
We've seen ethanol demand really take off over the past 5 years. We're also starting to see export demand, specifically to the Pacific Rim, build over the last couple of years. So as long as that demand for the crop continues to build as quickly as our yield increases go, that can help us maintain prices at a fairly healthy level.
Healthy prices plus a healthy crop could mean the stars align perfectly for corn farmers this year. But if there's anything a farmer will tell you, it's never count your bushels before they're harvested. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Sarah McCammon in Des Moines.
You might find that wind is an occasional nuisance. For farmers, though, the wind's impact can be huge, drying out crops and eroding topsoil. Gusts, big and small, also complicate the application of chemicals, and that can be particularly costly. Reporting for Harvest Public Media, Perry Stoner takes us inside a new research facility in North Platte, Nebraska, where researchers are throwing their unique brand of caution to the wind.
As an electric engine revs up, Greg Krueger, a crop systems specialist with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, explains the setup.
We have an axial flow fan, and that creates an air flow. And then we've got an air straightener. And then we've got a laser system, and we've set up a single nozzle sprayer inside this 4-foot by 4-foot wind tunnel.
The sprayer sends water through the tunnel. Krueger and his team are trying out dozens of nozzles, searching for the most efficient and effective chemical application methods. It starts with the droplet size coming out of the nozzle.
We know that the smaller the droplet size, the greater the drift potential. those small droplets take longer to reach the ground. So anytime we've got an airflow that's pushing those droplets, if it takes longer to get to the ground, it's going to move farther from the point where it was released.
Chemicals are designed to keep crop diseases and pests in check. The researchers want to know how much pressure is ideal for application. More force usually means smaller droplet size.
So there's a sweet spot in there where we're trying to hit so that we don't have a lot of drift, but yet we're still getting the control from that pesticide that we want.
The research is right on target for Kevin Wemhoff. He owns Vantage AgriService in Odo County in southeast Nebraska. Applying liquid chemicals makes up a large part of the business, especially this time of year. It's windy this time of year, too, and chemical application directions don't allow for much wind.
Technically, by most labels, it's 10 miles an hour. Oh. And obviously, there are many, many days in Nebraska that's over 10 miles an hour.
Wemhoff's high crop sprayer looks like a large transformer toy as the boom unfolds to a span of 90 feet. Onboard sonar, which sends a signal to the ground to measure its distance, automatically adjusts the height of the boom for optimum efficiency. While technology and information have improved efficiency, Wemhoff says it's still important to continue to get better.
With more acreages, where we're relatively close to some urban areas, Lincoln, Omaha, some other places, there are more vineyards, there are more acreage people, there are more people that moved out of town that you need to be very sensitive to. So you're always looking for more data, more information on how far particles move to give you the best idea of how to handle a field.
That's what Greg Krueger hopes will come from the research at the new wind tunnel facility in North Platte. In addition to the machine that blows at 15 miles per hour, a much larger machine can be attached. It creates winds up to 200 miles per hour to replicate aerial chemical spraying. After some initial testing, Krueger will put plants in the wind tunnel for further research. He hopes the work will help establish standards for drift reduction technology. DRT is something the Environmental Protection Agency is already focusing on.
This DRT policy will have labeling on products so that applicators, when they pick up a nozzle or they pick up a drift-reducing adjuvant off the shelf to use with their application, they'll know that that product will have the ability to reduce drift.
The wind tunnel in North Platte is only the second of its kind in the U.S. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Perry Stoner.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.